Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Namaste Radio. The intent of our programming is to increase awareness, inspire loving action, and ignite transformation and healing in our listeners, and through them, our world. Namaste Radio is brought to you by Namaste Publishing. Please join its interactive spiritual community. Communicate directly with authors, guest bloggers, and others like yourself who are spiritually seeking a better way of living. Connect, make friends, and be one with our new Namaste Global community at namastepublishing.com. And now, please welcome your host for this hour, Marie Bernard, on Namaste Radio, radio that will change your life. Hello, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thank you for being with us tonight. Today's guest is Pragito Dove, and she is the author of Laughter, Tears, Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart. And we seem to be having a little bit of technical difficulty getting Pragito up on the air, so what I'm going to do is play a song. We played this at the end of last week's episode. If you recall, we spoke with Eckhart Tolle last week, and that was such a pleasure. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that episode, it is available on demand, and if you enjoy the show as much as I did, I would encourage you to share the show with one person, two people, 10 people. Get the word out there and spread the word about Eckhart Tolle, because it was such a wonderful interview, and I'm sure that it will touch thousands of lives, and I really want to get that out there. So if you feel the desire, then I would encourage you to do so. Okay, so hang on a second here. Pragito? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, hi, there you are.
Yes. Hello.
Hi. I was getting a little bit worried there. I was going to play a song, but we played that last week with Eckhart Tolle. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I actually called in about 10 minutes ago and was in a queue. I was told I was in a queue, but I just decided to call back in because...
Yes, I've been going, hello, can you hear me? Okay, well, here you are now. Wonderful.
Yes.
Am I saying your name correctly, Pragito?
Yes, you are.
Okay, wonderful. So your background is that you are the president of Discover Meditation Training, and you also trained extensively as a meditation master and a spiritual teacher at the Osho Multiversity in Pune, India. And I was wondering, can you tell us a little bit about your background and your experience in Pune?
Well, the reason I went there was because I was seeking something to help me transform my anger, fear, and pain into love and wisdom and inner silence. And I'd heard about the expressive meditation techniques of Osho, like the laughter, the tears, the dynamic, the dancing, the humming, and so on. And I wanted to go there to see if they could work for me, because just sitting in silence, cold, didn't really work for me. I needed some way to take the lid off the pressure cooker and let out all my inner turmoil. So I went there, and indeed they did work, all these expressive techniques. So my confidence in them is they've worked on me.
Wonderful. So my question was going to be, what is expressive meditation? Because it sounds kind of contrary to what we think of as meditation, as sitting in silence and not thinking anything. So what's the difference between that kind of meditation and expressive meditation?
Well, the expressive meditations, you do something expressive in the first stage, and then you sit in silence in the second stage. And the idea is, in the first expressive stage, to take the lid off the pressure cooker and let out your inner turmoil and your emotional turmoil, your mental turmoil, and also if you have physical stress. So if we took the laughter meditation as an example, laughter is a great stress releaser. That's the first stage, is we just laugh. And it helps release a lot of physical, mental, and emotional stress, and also spiritual stress. And then it's much easier in the second stage of the laughter meditation to just sit in silence, because we've created a space through all this release for the silence to arise, and it helps us be more present. And laughter, in fact, and I didn't know this till I started doing the laughter meditation, but laughter serves as a bridge to take us deeper into our inner silence, because it's an ordinary experience that can give us an extraordinary experience, a glimpse of no mind and of meditation. And so it acts as a bridge, and you can laugh your way to enlightenment if you want to. So that's one example, but there's also a gibberish technique, which is from the Sufi tradition, which is great for releasing anger and frustration and irritation. At the first stage is gibberish, second stage sitting in silence. The dancing meditation, that's a wonderful meditation where we dance first to express, allow the body to express itself, and it's great for creativity and getting in touch with our inner joy. And then the second stage of that is we actually lie down in silence. So the idea of the expressive techniques is to express outward rather than keeping repressed all these inner turmoils. It's don't repress, express. And then it's easier to sit in silence.
Wonderful. So how long, let's say for the laughter meditation, how long would someone laugh, and then how long would they sit in silence after that?
Well, I always suggest that you do the same amount of time for each stage, because the laughter is the outward, the expressive, and the sitting in silence is the inner. And so you can do it for 30 seconds of each stage, a minute of each stage, 10 minutes of each stage, 30 minutes of each stage. Whatever you have time for, whatever you feel like doing. I often do 30 minutes of each stage in my trainings and workshops, so give people a really good deep taste of it, because it's like everything. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it. So the longer you do it for, you'll get more out of it. But on the other hand, you know, a minute of laughter and a minute of silence can work wonders. If that's all you have time for.
So let's talk about that. How, because throughout your book, you do talk about how you can do it. It's part of like incorporating it into your life. So for people who are new to meditation, how can they take these techniques and incorporate them into their life easily without, like, say they don't have half an hour to sit down and do that?
Well, I mean, in terms of laughter, as I've already been talking about laughter, I always suggest to people just bring as much laughter into your life as you can. Look for laughter. If you can't always do the sitting in silence part, then fine. But just by bringing more laughter in, it activates your joy and your creativity, and it helps you be more present because, as I'm sure you know, meditation is being in the present moment, being in the now. And when we're enjoying ourselves, we're far more likely to be in the present moment. So that's a kind of good rule of thumb I offer to people. And something else is that any activity can be a meditation. Now, a lot of people think that meditation means you have to sit in silence with a rigid back and sitting in the lotus position. Now, that is one technique, and that works for many people. But meditation, in fact, can be any activity, because it's not the activity that matters, but the quality of your presence with the activity. So you could be cleaning the floor, the kitchen floor, and if you're fully present, then that can be your meditation, because when you are fully present, meditation is present. When you are not present, meditation is not present. It's actually as simple as that. So when you know what meditation is and what it is not, because it is not a technique, the techniques are there to serve as a bridge to take us deeper into our inner silence. And there's many techniques. There's over 100 in my book. So it's that quality of presence that we're after. So find one thing I suggest to people that are new to meditation is find activities that you enjoy and notice your quality of presence with them. Because when we're enjoying ourselves, we're very likely to be fully present with what we're doing. And just start to notice that so that meditation doesn't have to be like a grind and really boring and a grim affair. Nor does it mean you have to set aside hours on end or go and sit on a mountaintop. You really can integrate it into your day-to-day life. And one example in my book is taking a shower in the morning. When you take your shower, you know, either you're present in your body in the shower or you're not. And you can just remember to be present there and do your meditation that way if you're pressed for time.
So do you have any tips for people who are new to meditation who perhaps they intend, like, okay, every morning I'm going to do the be present in the shower, and then they forget to be present?
Yes. That's certainly very common. And well, the first thing I think is to laugh, as we did, you know, not to be serious about it. Be sincere about meditation, yes, but you don't have to be serious. Because if you forget, then you forget. Because the beautiful thing about meditation is it's very forgiving and it's very compassionate, and there's always now. You always have the next moment. So when you remember that you forgot to be present in the shower, then whatever you're doing in that moment, maybe you're toweling your hair dry or putting on your sweater or whatever it is, then make that moment your meditation. This is the beauty to me is there's always now. And so it's when we remember, as just as you said, when we remember that we forgot is the moment, because we've remembered. And to congratulate yourself for remembering.
So it sounds like it's the idea of just practicing when you remember, oh, I'm present right now.
Yes.
To kind of hold on to that for as long as you can.
Yes, and to be there with it. And then it will go, you know, and we go, because the mind will take us into the future, the mind will take us into the past. But when we do remember to be in the present moment, when we just take a moment with it and really be there, then it starts to grow, because then we start to nurture it and to nourish it, and it will start to grow. And then you find that it just starts happening easily, and that you remember more often. And you forget about the times you forget, and you're more focused on the when you remember, and it grows. It really does. That's what's happened to me over the years.
Beautiful. So if you would like to get on the air and ask Brigido a question, the number is 1-347-202-0129. She is the president of Discover Meditation Training, and she's also the author of Laughter, Tears, Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart. So if you have a question about meditation, feel free to give us a call. 1-347-202-0129. You can also, if you're listening live, you can ask your question in the chat room, and I will pass that on to her as well. So, Brigido, your book is filled with four-minute meditations, especially here in the beginning. What is it about 4 minutes?
Well, the reason I chose, I mean, the standard thing is 5 minutes, isn't it? But the reason I chose four was because then it's easy to have 2 minutes for each stage, because most, not all of them, but most of those little short meditations in my book have two stages, and it's just easier. And also, I think 4 minutes is, I think it's something quite doable that you can just set aside and think, okay, I can take 4 minutes, you know, out of my day or in my lunchtime, or over the weekend, or whatever it is. And also 4 minutes doesn't seem too daunting. That's how I started. I was afraid of meditation when I first heard about it, and started doing it, I thought, oh, I can't do this. Not me. Yeah? And to be told, you know, that you could just do something for 4 minutes, I thought, oh, well, I could do that. I could do 4 minutes. So I think it's encouraging to take a shorter amount of time and be total, because what's important with meditation is the quality of our presence, not the quantity of minutes that we've done, because that's when the ego comes in, oh, I was sitting for an hour, you know. But that doesn't really serve anything if we're not really present. So if what you feel you can do is 4 minutes with your full quality of presence, or as best you can, then it's a great start and it's very encouraging, and then you can always do them for longer. There's no rule that you can't do the 4 minute ones for longer, but they're a great way to start.
So how exactly, you mentioned that laughter and the dancing kind of frees up your energy a little bit. So can we talk a little bit more in depth of how the laughter gets you into that mode of being in silence?
Well, everybody loves to laugh, don't they? I mean, we love to laugh and we feel good. We don't need, you know, pages and pages of statistics and research to tell us that we feel good when we've been laughing or when we are laughing. And so we're releasing a tremendous amount of stress, and we are activating our creativity and our inner joy and a sense of well-being, a sense that even though, you know, before we started laughing, we might have thought we had all kinds of insurmountable problems, but then when you have a good laugh, somehow everything doesn't seem so bad, somehow. And it's very, very powerful. It's a very simple activity, but it's very, very powerful. And then when we've been doing the laughter meditation, let's say for 2 minutes, and then we sit in silence, what happens when you close your eyes is you experience the laughter from the inside, which before anyone's done the laughter meditation, you've probably never done, because laughter is a very extrovert activity. But then to close your eyes, and then you feel all that joy and that warmth of the laughter energy inside of you, and it makes it much easier to be there sitting in silence. So it's my experience of it is that the laughter helps us to make that transition from being extrovert with our eyes open to that inner place. And it's the most popular meditation I teach. Everybody loves it.
Probably because it's the most fun, right?
Pardon?
Probably because it's the most fun.
Well, it is the most fun. It's a tremendous amount of fun. And I also find that people who are afraid of sitting in silence, when they've done some laughter first, then they find it very easy to sit in silence, and then it's very encouraging for them to continue. Because it's like, oh, it's not such a big deal to sit in silence. So it helps people. Actually, the laughter and the dancing are the easiest ways to help people to drop down into meditation, into inner silence.
So if someone is having, let's say, a bad day,
mm-hmm.
would you recommend for them to do a laughter meditation, or would you... What would you recommend for someone?
I would suggest to the person, okay, if you're having a bad day, what's going? Are they angry and irritated, and sort of, you know, frustrated with the world in general? If they are, I would suggest the gibberish technique. The gibberish technique, which is from the Sufi tradition, the first stage you do gibberish. You close your eyes and you basically just go crazy. It's very cathartic. And you speak in gibberish, not in any language that you understand, and you can release your inner turmoil, especially if you have anger and frustration, and you can just dump it out in the gibberish. And then the second stage, you sit in silence. And it's very, very powerful. And again, this one you could do, say, 2 minutes of gibberish and 2 minutes of silence. And by the way, I have CDs that go with all of these techniques to help people. And then in the second stage, when you drop down into your silence, you get in touch with your inner wisdom. You've taken the charge out of your anger. And then usually you find your sense of humor returning, your creativity arises, and solutions start popping up about whatever you were angry about. So that's a really good one if you're having a bad day. The laughter, too, can be great if you're up for it. But sometimes people are so angry they don't feel like laughing.
Exactly.
Or sometimes they might feel like more like crying, in which case then you do a tears meditation.
Well, I want to talk about the tears meditation as well, and we also have a question from Sweet Lullaby. She wants to know, when you fall asleep during meditation, is that just too much relaxation, or is it a lack of focus?
Well, that's a great question, because that's a fine line, is are you in meditation or are you asleep? Well, first of all, it's a good thing, because it does mean you're very, very relaxed. And relaxation is good. All the meditation techniques I teach are based on relaxation, and relaxation starts with the body. So falling asleep is good in that it means the body wanted to go to sleep and be very relaxed. Maybe you were tired, you know? So there's that to it. Because, see, we have to watch the mind coming in with judgments. And saying, oh, you're no good at meditation because you fell asleep. And this isn't really meditation because you fell asleep. We have to watch out for the judgmental mind. Maybe you needed some sleep. Maybe the body was tired.
But isn't it also... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, you can... No, you say what you wanted to say. And then
I was going to say, isn't it also sometimes people who find themselves... like they always fall asleep whenever they start meditating, could that be like a resistance to actually meditating and being present?
Well, yes. I mean, one thing is I suggest to sit and don't lie down, because if you lie down, you're far more likely to fall asleep. And the other thing is to pick a technique, like this is where the expressive techniques are so great, like the gibberish or the laughter or the dancing. Or there's a very nice humming meditation. And when you're energizing yourself with that first stage, with the expressive stage, you're far less likely to fall asleep in that second sitting in silence stage, because you've energized yourself. And in the second stage, you're really enjoying the silence. And there's much less likelihood to fall asleep.
So I'm really curious about this gibberish meditation, and I'm wondering, would you mind giving us a couple moments of gibberish so we can hear what it's like?
I'd be delighted. So it goes something like this. And there's a lot of laughter in it too. And then that's how you do the gibberish. But if you're very angry and you need to dump out anger, then you do it with a lot of anger. Or you might end up laughing, as we did, because, you know, laughter's just bubbling up. Or you might start crying because you have a lot of sadness that's coming up. It doesn't really matter. The idea is to allow the expression of what is there that needs to come out. And the gibberish helps with that. And the gibberish also helps to declutter the mind from all the information overload.
So Brigido, it sounds like what you're saying is that whatever mood you're in, you kind of want to, without saying words, you want to express that emotion. So if you're angry, you might like intentionally speak angry gibberish.
Exactly. Exactly. You've got it exactly right.
And so go ahead.
If you're in a good mood, you know, you could just clown around doing gibberish and being silly, you know. And if you're very, very sad, you can gibber to yourself your sadness and your pain. Yeah, so you're exactly right, whatever mood you're in.
So do you ever combine the meditations? Like, because I can imagine if you're in a good mood doing the giddy gibberish, you might feel like kind of dancing around and
Well,
they
all sort of, because the gibberish is, you know, I do encourage people when they're doing the gibberish to use their body, shake their arms, their head, and shake off a lot of physical stress and, you know, stomp around or dance around. So, yes, because you are using your body a lot in the gibberish. So you can dance, laugh. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm.
So as far as the movement in the laughter, gibberish, dancing part of the meditation, aside from, like, getting that energy going, what else does it do to your body and your mind? How does it help you?
Well, when you release all that stress and tension from the body and mind, it's deeply relaxing. And you've created a space. Because instead of being filled up with tension, when you release all that tension, the body relaxes, so it's very good for your health. And inside, you fill up with joy, with your inner silence and with inner stillness. That's why the second stage, the sitting in silence stage, is so delicious, because you just very easily get in touch with your inner silence and your inner wisdom.
Wonderful.
So see, the first stage is like a possibility to release and dump out all the inner clutter. And then the second stage is just your inner stillness and silence, which is a beautiful experience.
Now, Pragito, a lot of people are experiencing, you know, they head to meditation because of they're having some kind of problem in their life, and so they're searching for some kind of release or some kind of solution or the ability to tap into that all that is so that they can come up with some kind of healing. And in your book, you talk about grief.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are the tears, is the crying meditation, is that what it's for, is to release
yes.
the grief?
To heal the grief, yes. Because one of the problems with grief and pain and fear and jealousy and all the uncomfortable emotions is that we want to get rid of them. We don't want them to be there. So there's a tendency to fight them, to avoid them, and or suppress them. And this just makes them worse. So the key for grief and pain is, first of all, to accept that they are there and not fight them and not avoid them. Accept them. And that what happens in that acceptance, and if you do, for example, the beauty of grief, which is one of the little meditations in the book, you sit and allow yourself to feel the pain. And feeling is healing. And as you face the pain and allow yourself to feel it, what happens is it starts to transmute into inner silence and wisdom and love. And it is healed. And it is really healed. It's not because it's been repressed, but it's been transformed. So pain can be transformed into love and silence and wisdom. And that has been my own personal experience through doing this technique. So accepting it's there and then allowing it to be there and feeling it and being with it, it will transform.
So how, I know, like, on this show we talk a lot about being in the present moment and how important that is. And I'm wondering what that means for you. What is the benefit for you of being in the present moment?
Well, there's many, many, many benefits. Being in the present moment, for one thing, feels good physically because I feel like I'm present in my body. When we say be here now, here is in my body, fully present. So I'm experiencing my body. And then, so one of the first benefits is my health. I'm very aware of my body, and if it's in some discomfort or any pain or needs to sleep or needs to go for a walk or get fresh air or whatever it is, I listen to my body because the body has a lot of wisdom and it will tell us what it needs. So that is one of the first benefits I get from being in the present moment. Then is my heart. By being in the present moment with my heart and listening to my heart, I'm fully aware, for example, if I feel hurt or if I feel joy or if I want to express some love to somebody. Also, this is where my creativity comes from too. So by taking care of my heart and being aware of my heart, I receive a lot of benefits and love myself, because of course love starts with oneself. And then in terms of the mind, having a clear mind, not having my mind all cluttered up with and jam-packed with too many thoughts. And if in the present moment, if I feel I got too much going on in my head, I might go and do 2 minutes of gibberish and then sit in silence for 2 minutes and dump it out, you know, so that I can have clarity of thought. And so that all of those things, the body, my heart, my mind, then I feel this, I feel a feeling of all rightness and centeredness and groundedness. And then whatever I get thrown at me, you know, if I get thrown a curveball in the day, something unexpected, then I have my inner resources available to me to respond rather than react to any given situation. So that's, I think, the main ways that I benefit from being fully present. And then, of course, there's other things like I don't lose my car keys anymore. You know, I know where they are because I always put them down deliberately and consciously, so I remember where they are. Don't have to spend much money on my health because I have so much awareness around my body, so I save money. My creativity helps me make money. It enhances all my relationships, being fully present, because people know I'm listening and I'm fully present listening to them, and that always makes your relationships better. So I'm thinking, you know, on every level, there's many, many benefits to being in the present moment.
So I want to ask you how your life has changed since you went to, when you went to the multiversity in India.
Mm-hmm.
You said before that you were afraid of meditation. So what got you there in the first place if you were afraid of meditation? And then we'll talk about how your life has changed.
Yes. Well, what got me there, I had a very, very challenging childhood. And as I mentioned, I was full of anger, fear, and pain. And it was when my son was born that was like a big wake-up call to me. You know, we have these life-altering moments in our lives when we make the decisions. And I made the decision that I needed to heal myself, because if I didn't, I would just pass all this stress and turmoil onto him. So that was the motivation that really got me to India to study with Osho, because I wanted to be the best mom I could be, and I didn't want to treat my son the way my mother had treated me, which had caused me so much pain. So that was a very strong motivation for me right there. And I also smoked about 25 cigarettes a day. I had a recurring back pain, and I was a mess, frankly. And, you know, when I became a mother, I just felt that responsibility to my son. I didn't want to make his life a living hell. So I took myself in hand, and I started doing all these meditations. And this is my confidence in that they work, because, well, certainly I don't smoke anymore. I mean, I have excellent health. I don't have back pain anymore. My son turned out great. He's now in his dream job with his married to his dream girl, and and I'm an author and now sharing all of this with all my students and readers and people all around the world, and that is a great reward to be able to share something that has really worked and then to see the effect on my students, well, my son, of course, and then my students and everybody who studies with me. It's just wonderful. So it's turned into a real win-win situation.
Wonderful. Well, how long, what was the training like at Osho?
Well, I used to go there, I guess it was over a course of a number of years. It wasn't that I just went on one visit and did some trainings and that was it, because it was a process for me as I peeled away all the layers and healed the pain and transformed the fear into love and transformed my anger into creativity. It happened over a period of probably maybe 5 to 6 years, I would say, before I felt strong enough to start teaching here in the United States and sharing what I had learned and what had happened to me. So it was kind of a process. But I did all my trainings over there in Osho's Meditation Resort in Pune.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm wondering, I'm curious about the laughter meditations, and there's so many of these meditations. What are your favorites?
Well, the laughter.
Yeah.
I mean, I was actually teaching a workshop last weekend, and some of my students have been with me for quite some time, and I said, well, does anybody want to do the laughter meditation? And of course, you know, we do it again. It's just always so refreshing, you know. I like the gratitude meditation. I do that every morning. I think that when we can sit in silence and say thank you for everything we have, it always immediately fills me with joy because I see that I have so much. And it's very easy for the mind to try and convince us we have all kinds of problems and I wish this was happening and I wish this was that way and this was the other way. Yes? But the gratitude meditation always reminds me that I already have everything and fills me with a deep contentment. So I like that one very much. And I like the meditations for children, too. I mean, I did those with my son and his friends, and I love sharing those with parents and with children. I had two young girls once in the Mystic Rose meditation, which is the Laughter, Tears, and Silence meditation, and they brought such an incredible energy and joy to the meditation. It was really wonderful.
So let's talk. There's so many things I want to talk about. I'm kind of jumping all over the place. I'd love to do a laughter meditation. And also, if you have a question about meditation and you'd like to get on the air and ask your question, the number is 1-347-202-0129. I can put you right on the air and you can ask your question. Also, if you have a question in the chat room, feel free to post it and I will pass that on to Pragito. So do you mind taking us through the laughter meditation?
Not at all. Are you going to join me?
Yeah, sure. So do we do like 2 minutes of laughter and then a minute of silence?
Absolutely, if that's what you'd like to do. So what we'll do is we'll shout out Yahoo 3 times and then just start laughing. And we'll laugh for 2 minutes and then I will do a chime from my chimes, and then we will sit in silence, and then I will do 3 chimes, and that will be the end of the meditation.
Okay. Can we do just 1 minute of silence since we are on the radio?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
yes,
but we'll do 2 minutes of laughing?
Pardon?
2 minutes of laughing, 1 minute of silence?
Absolutely. We can do whatever you think would be the best way to do it on the radio. Because I do
right.
I do the laughter meditation on the phone. I have a laughter meditation teletraining, and we do it on the phone. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Okay. So if you're listening live or on demand, please join us. I dare you to join us. Wherever you are, start laughing. Okay.
Okay. Yahoo!
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 Hello?
Hello.
You still there?
I was trying not to laugh when we were supposed to be quiet.
Well, I'm so glad we did this because it's okay, actually, to keep laughing in the silence because sometimes the laughter just continues as an energy and it probably won't die down in 1 minute, but when you do it for longer, it will naturally die down. And when we do it in a group, there's often somebody who's still giggling and chuckling, and that's okay.
And is it normal? Because as soon as we started, I was like, at first I was laughing, and then I was like, oh, no, what have I gotten myself into? Now I have to keep laughing, and I was feeling kind of self-conscious. Is that normal?
That's very normal. It's very normal. It's the more you do it, the more you get used to it. And the laughter just comes, there's always more and more laughter, and you do get less self-conscious, yes. I mean, you're just laughing.
So do you, because there were at times when I was like genuinely laughing,
mm-hmm.
because I felt like laughing, and then there were other times when I was like, okay, I have to keep laughing, so I made myself laugh more. And
that's okay. It's okay, yes, it's okay to fake it up a bit, you know, because it takes a while, because for most of us, a lot of our natural laughter was repressed. When we were children, I mean, mine was. I was always being told to stop laughing and keep quiet and pipe down and that kind of thing, yeah? So it gets repressed, but it's still there, our full natural laughter, our belly laughter. And so sometimes to get this going, we have to fake it up a bit, so it's just fine. Because the true natural laughter, it will break through the more you do it.
That was so fun. I still feel like giggly. We'll
yeah,
probably be laughing.
We didn't do it for long enough. But of course, we were just experimenting. It's the first time I've done it on a radio show. I've done it on the phone, but and in my laughter meditation teletrainings on the 101 class, I usually start people with about 5 minutes of laughter, 3, 4, or 5 minutes, and then. When they get used to it, in the 202 and the 303 teletrainings, when my more seasoned laughters and students, you know, then we laugh for longer and we have longer silences. So people get used to it.
And then, do you recommend, is it best to do in a group or with other people, or is it still good by yourself? What's the ideal way to do it?
There isn't. I mean, laughter's great. Whether you're laughing on your own or laughing in a group, it's all good. It's all good. It is easier in meditation, a group is two people or more. So for meditation, you only need, with two of us, there was plenty of us, yes,
mm-hmm.
to get it going. I mean, I can laugh on my own, but then I've been doing it for over 20 years. But, and I have a CD, I have the Laughter and Tears CD, so if people want to get the CD, they can put the laughter on. I taped one of my workshops and laugh along with everybody on the CD, you know. You can do that. Or, you know, find a friend and you can do what we just did. You can just do it at home or something. And kids are great. Because kids don't have all the mind stuff in the way so much as adults do. And it's great if you can have kids doing it. It was my son's favorite, this one and the gibberish. He loved them when
Wonderful.
He was four.
Well, what's the best place if people wanted to get the laughter CD?
My website, www.pragito.com. That's PRAGITO.com. There's a laughter and tears CD. There's a gibberish CD. There's a dancing there's a Wisdom of the Body CD, an Opening to Love CD, everything we've talked about. I have CDs for the meditations, and some of them are guided journeys. And then the laughter meditation teletrainings are also on my website. That's a fantastic way to start because we can do that on the phone. So I have people calling in from all around the world. I had a woman calling in from the UK last month. Was like 2 a.m. for her, but she was determined to laugh. So those are great. And then I also have practitioner trainings. I'm always looking for people interested in training in these meditations because they're very new to North America. And I'm looking for people who want to train with me so they can go out and share them with their communities and lots of people so we can introduce them to more and more people. Because mostly people just know about the sitting in silence, they know about yoga, but they don't so much know about these expressive techniques. And they're a lot of fun.
They are, and you have so many different techniques. So if you're a little bit nervous about making yourself laugh or allowing yourself to cry, there's everything kind of in between. One thing that stands out for me is the shaking meditation.
Yes.
Namaste has a book out called The Revolutionary Trauma Release Process by David Berselli, and he actually has studied how shaking and trembling can allow that energy to move through your body and release like pent up post-traumatic stress and things like that. Can you describe your shaking meditation?
Yes, well, I'm not surprised to hear that because, yes, the shaking meditation is very powerful for releasing stress from the body. It's a one-hour expressive technique. The first stage is shaking, and you shake for 15 minutes, and there's a CD to accompany this with music that helps you shake. And you shake like a rag doll with your eyes closed. I love to do it at the end of the day. It's one of my favorites, because it releases all the stress from the computer and the phone, and I shake out my arms and my legs and my hips and my head and my neck, and you shake like that for 15 minutes. Then the second stage is dancing, which again is very freeing for the body and allows for expression and opens the heart and fills us with joy. The third, and those two stages are kind of like the tuning up, the expressive stages. The third stage is sitting, listening to the music on the CD, so sitting in silence. And the fourth stage is lying down in silence. So it's extremely good for the body in releasing stress. So I'm not at all surprised to hear that he is talking about shaking. And he might like to know about this shaking meditation, because then it gives it a sacred dimension, because you're putting it in a meditation context.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's a little bit different. David Berselli's work is you do exercises that cause your muscles, you know, like if you've been lifting weights and you get a little bit trembly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You do exercises that cause your muscles to tremble, and so it's a little bit of a more inward shaking.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's a similar idea, right? You're shaking.
It's the same idea. It's exactly
yeah.
the same idea, because I've heard of other, from other sources, of some indigenous peoples around the world who do this shaking, the way I've described it. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's very, very beneficial. It's ancient wisdom.
And that's another thing. You mentioned how laughter has been repressed in us, and the trembling is actually an instinctual thing. If you
yes.
see animals that have been through a trauma, they'll tremble for a minute, and then they'll literally shake it off.
They literally shake it off, exactly. Exactly, and we need to shake and tremble like that, especially if we've been in a shock or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, because the body has its own wisdom, and the body knows what to do, and that's why we have those, you know, those kind of reactions that the body has. The body does know what to do, and it needs to laugh. The body needs to cry. That's why we have tear ducts. We've been given anger. It's one of our emotions. We must express it in a safe context. You know, we have all these. Components to us and these activities that the body needs to do. So you're absolutely right. It does need to shake. And I think the reason for a lot of the stress is simply that tension has got trapped in the body through fear. I mean, that's why my body was full of tension, because I grew up terrified. I was just paralyzed with fear. I was terrified of my mother. And I was just paralyzed with fear. I could barely speak, you know. So I was like in a straitjacket. And so these expressive techniques have served me so well, because they helped me break free of that straitjacket emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually, and find myself, find my real self, the true, authentic Pragito, and have excellent health and enjoy my life. I think we all deserve to enjoy our lives.
Definitely. And like you said about the repression, it's so important to bring it back, because laughter and joy, I mean, enjoying your life is being in joy, and being in the present moment
exactly.
is being in joy.
Exactly. Then not only do we benefit, but it has that, it transmits and everybody benefits. the planet benefits, humanity benefits. And I think when we laugh, we're being of service to the planet, you know, because we're transmitting positive energy. And I think this laughter meditation is, I mean, and anybody with post-traumatic stress syndrome, anybody who, you know, laughter would help them. It would help because it releases stress.
Do you suggest even, so some people are so down that they just don't laugh.
Right.
But if you, I mean, you can fake a laugh.
You fake it, and you can smile. You can start with smiling. Like, you know, the laughter's done a lot in senior centers, and some people are, they're in wheelchairs or whatever, but they can smile, they can chuckle, they can, you know, giggle a little bit. Even to, you know, for example, to put on the laughter track of my laughter CD, it, just to hear it, it lightens your spirit. It warms your heart. And over time, the laughter comes back. It's just got repressed. It's still there. The magic is it's still there. It just got buried underneath all this clutter and underneath all the fear. And the great thing about laughter is if you can force it a bit and encourage it to come back, laughter helps with fear because you can't be afraid and laughing at the same time. You know, you can't be worried and laughing at the same time. So laughter erases worry and fear. It's the most amazingly powerful thing. Very simple, but very, very powerful. And even, you know, even buy joke books or watch comedies, anything that helps to trigger that laughter to come back, even if it is deeply buried, it will come back. Mine was incredibly buried, but it will come back, I guarantee.
So with your laughter being buried, how long did it take you to the point where you were comfortable laughing and it came naturally and you were okay with, say, laughing in a group?
Well, I jumped in the deep end, so I might not be the best example. I was in India, and this was in 1980, I think it was, when Osho created the Mystic Rose Meditation, which is a three-week meditation, 3 hours a day for 3 weeks. First 7 days for laughter, second 7 days for tears, and the third week is for sitting in silence. And so I signed up for that. I jumped in the deep end, and I just started, and I did 3 hours of laughter a day for a week. And at the beginning, it was very uncomfortable. I did feel very uncomfortable, and I think, I can't laugh. Oh, how ridiculous. I can't laugh, and everybody else can laugh. But the good news about the laughter is, it's like, so what, you know? It just, everything just seems so funny. And when you're, it does help to be with other people, because when other people are laughing, it's like a transmission. It's like an epidemic, you know. And it's pretty impossible to be in a room full of people laughing and not laugh.
Yeah.
Or to be on one of my calls, one of my laughter meditation teletraining calls, and we're all laughing on the phone and just not laugh, you know. So you just have to do it. You just have to start and jump in, like we did just now.
Yeah, you know? I can't believe I did that, but I'm glad we did.
I'm glad we did.
I think it'll help. It'll help people. They'll hear it and they'll want to do it too. So I'm really glad. Thank you for doing that with me, and also for your gibberish, because I know that can be embarrassing to speak gibberish on the radio.
Well, I've been doing the Gibber Show for 25 years, so I'm more than happy to do it. I've done it in front of, when I give talks, I give an example. It always makes me laugh and makes everybody laugh, so it's all good.
Wonderful.
So I enjoyed it very much. Yes, anytime.
Well, we have, thank you so much, and we have just a few minutes left in the show. I added a bit of time because I saw we were running out of time, and I didn't want it to be cut off. But with kids, I want to talk a little bit about children, because they're so important to our world. And, I mean, I'd imagine it's pretty easy to get kids to do these.
Oh, it's easy as pie. They love them. And it's great for the family. This is why I had, you know, such success with my son, because, you know, if you can do the laughter meditation together, so you laugh and then you sit in silence, although with the kids, I let them lie down. You know, it's not a good idea to force it with kids. You don't necessarily have to call it meditation. You can call it fun time or relaxation time. But children need an opportunity to express themselves, and they also need downtime. They need quiet time. And so the laughter is great because it releases so much stress, as we've been talking about. And also the gibberish is very good for kids. If they have any anger, it gives them permission to get angry and express their frustration, but in the context of a meditation technique. Because in general, people either choose to take their anger out on another person, or they turn it inward and take it out on themselves. And the gibberish offers a third option, which is to dump it out in a meditation technique, which is the best option, because that way, it, you know, we release it from our body and mind, and nobody else suffers. And then in the second stage, when you're sitting and with children, they can lie down if they want to in the silence part, and then you can kind of just, you know, regroup and come back to center. So you usually get your sense of humor back, and you get in touch with your creativity. And for children to be in touch with their creativity is a great thing. Because it's our creativity that gives our life meaning and purpose and passion. And when kids discover what it is they love to do and what they're good at, that's a great thing. And it's also something you can do as a family, a nonverbal activity. And certainly when my son became a teenager and we started, you know, running into the kind of teenager problems that one does, we always had the laughter, my son and I, you know. Somehow things got off track a bit. We could always just find our way back, and we'd find ourselves laughing. And it's laughter heals, and it's like it brings everybody back to a common sharing and helps dissolve problems, or helps at least bring a lightness. And you also, again, get your creativity arising and creative solutions, which you need with teenagers and with kids a lot, you know, to spontaneously come up with some creative solutions to things. It helps with that too.
With the gibberish, it just strikes me that when you're getting that anger out or that sadness or whatever it is that you're getting out, when you're just speaking gibberish, you're not verbalizing, because that's what our mind wants to do is
exactly
verbalize, and then we get wrapped up in it and it snowballs.
Yes.
And then we feel way worse than we did before.
Right. This is the great thing about the gibberish, is it depersonalizes it. So instead of, you know, ranting on about your boss or some particular person, when you do it in gibberish, it depersonalizes it, and then it sort of just becomes energy that you are releasing. And it helps you get more of a perspective on the situation, say it's about your boss, and more perspective and more objectivity, and then you can see it more from a distance and see very often creative solutions arise, or just maybe it's not as bad as you thought. But you're absolutely right. It helps break up the dominance of the mind, which thinks it knows everything, and we really need to start dropping down to get in touch with our inner wisdom and coming from a place of wisdom rather than letting the mind dictate everything we say and do.
Pragito, what would you suggest for worry? Would it be gibberish as well?
Gibberish helps a lot with worry. Laughter helps with worry. And love. I have a whole chapter in love in the silence section of the book. Love helps tremendously with worry. So, and I have a lot of meditation suggestions in the book for those.
Wonderful. Well, we are running out of time here, so I'm just wondering if there's anything that you would like to leave us with, we could probably talk, fill a whole another hour just talking about love.
Yes, that's another big topic. It's a beautiful topic. Yeah,
so
right.
The best place to get your book?
The best place to get, well, anywhere books are sold or anywhere on the internet or my website, www.pragito.com. You can also get my CDs there and find out about the laughter meditation teletrainings and the practitioner certification trainings. And I'd love to have anybody who's interested in those so we can share with the whole world these amazing techniques.
Wonderful. And is
my
there
intent,
anything? Sorry, go ahead.
I want to say, which I always like to announce everywhere I go, my intention is to create an epidemic of laughter meditation worldwide.
Hmm. I like that intention.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Just thank you very much for having me on your show. I've enjoyed it immensely, especially the spontaneous laughter meditation. And it's been a great pleasure to be here, and would love to come back anytime.
Wonderful. Well, perhaps we'll have a discussion about love next time.
Yes,
that would be
fabulous. Thank
wonderful.
You so much.
Thank you, Pragito. Have a wonderful night.
You too.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So that was Pragito Dove. She is the author of... Don't know where that's coming from. She is the author of Laughter, Tears, and Silence.
Hello?
Hello? I don't know what happened there. So anyway, she is the author of Laughter, Tears, Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart. There also is a link to her book on the main page of this show as well, if you're interested. And I would invite you to come and visit us at namastepublishing.com, where you can find out all about the authors at Namaste, and there's lots of information. There's always a discussion. There's author blogs as well as discussion forums. So please feel free to join us at namastepublishing.com. And I, in the beginning of the show, I said I was going to play a song, so I am going to do that now as we close the show. Again, if you missed the Eckhart Tolle episode, you can listen to it on demand, and please feel free to let your friends know about the show if you enjoyed this show, and you can also favorite the show and continue laughing. You can actually go back and listen to this on podcast if you want to catch that laughter meditation again and again and again, and you can also go to pragito.com for her meditations as well. So thank you so much for joining us. Good night to everyone in the chat room, and have a wonderful evening or day, whatever it is for you. Namaste.
There's a new wind blowing across the earth, it's bringing with it a brand new birth. The lamb and the lion will lay down side by side. They will live together in a brand new world. Nature's crying with tears of joy. Like a child with a brand new toy. Man against man will soon be a thing of the past. They will live together in a brand new world. Across the universe, through the galaxy, God has a special place for you. guiding the way for me and you. We will all know our purpose and our divine destiny, and we will all be at peace in a brand new world. Across the
Thank you for joining with us for this hour of Namaste Radio. For further spiritual insights and sharing, please join us in Namaste Global Community at namastepublishing.com. If you enjoyed the show, please add Namaste Radio as a friend, favorite the show, and tell someone about it. Sharing this show is a precious gift that's completely free. Thank you. May you enjoy each moment of your day. Namaste.